जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
Oh, Chayam Shivatam Sudrigadakarja Ashokas Shivan AC Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Shivatam Sudrigadakarja Ashokas Shivan Bhakti Siddhanta Sarja Goswami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai. Ramacharya Sridharidas Thakur Ki Jai. Friends go Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktar Miki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Boko Vinath Sham Radha Miki Gurdhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Vidhik Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Angamai Ki Jai Jagannamai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktar Ki Jai, all glories to you, Sempal Devotees. All glories to you, Sempal Devotees. All glories to you, Sempal Devotees. Gopriyamande. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Purport.
Arjuna submitted three different questions, and the Lord answers them one after another. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that, well, we'll stop right there, but the three questions were, what is the symptom of a person who knows, what is the symptom of a person known to be transcendental to the three modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature? Those were the questions. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it's to be understood that he's under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he's actually out of the body, then he's out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he's not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body, and it does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. Yet not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but his spirit soul, the self, is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He does not need to try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature.
Om Jnanati Nirantasya Kananjana Shalakaya. This is a little too high. It's creating a little bit of echo or feedback. Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shabhavantam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Vaganatam Vitam Sansadivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Prajana Setam Krishna Chaitam Nadevam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Kurana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashodhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Pyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhagavan Vacha Kasham cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandam Nadveshti sam pravrittani na dvrittani kanshati Udasina varasino gunar yo na vichalyate Gunavartante tyevam yo vidishtati nengate Samadukha sukhasvastha samaloshtashma kanchana Tulya Priyapriyo tiras tulyanindatma samskriti. Manapamanios tulyas tuyo mitravi pakshayoho. Sarva rampa parityagi gunatita suchita. Arjuna has asked about the person who's transcendental to the modes of material nature. Are we loud enough here? Can everyone here? Okay. Arjuna is asked about the behavior of such a person, the characteristics of such a person, and the Lord is answering. Actually, the same question came up a couple of times earlier. Now again, Arjuna is asking. So, the central point of this is that the spiritually situated person knows that he's not this body. The body is controlled by the modes of material nature. It's a product of material nature. So it may act this way, it may act that way. It's what we would call a pain in the neck. Body is a botheration. Body is troublesome. The body has so many difficulties. Or on the other side, the body gives me this, the body gives me that, something I like. So the Krishna conscious person is not concerned with that. He's not over the moon, as they say, or rejoicing when he gets something favorable for his bodily circumstances. And when the bodily circumstances are unfavorable, he's not overwhelmed by that either. There's a key phrase here. Guna vartante tyevam. Yovatishtiti nengate. Gunavartanta iti. Iti is, when you see this iti, it often acts like quotation marks. Gunavartanta iti means, in quotations, the modes of nature are acting. He thinks, when things are going on with this material body, he thinks, the modes of nature are acting. He doesn't think this is happening to me. The example given is that on the water you see suppose trees or whatever, and they're shimmering, they're shaking, or the moon. You can see the moon on the water and it's shimmering and it's shaking and it's breaking up. But we know that the moon is not shimmering or shaking or breaking up. It's only because it's reflected on the water. It appears to be acting in that way. Actually, it has nothing to do with the moon. It's only the reflection of the moon. So the way that the modes of material nature may affect this material body are not really connected with me. Because I'm not this body. So I may be born in a high family, I may be born in a low family, I may be wealthy or poor or educated or not so well educated, I may be tall or short or thin or fat or you name it. But that doesn't have anything to do with me. When there's this comes in handy, especially when there's trouble, because when there's trouble we tend to be overwhelmed. But the Krishna conscious person thinks of it the way a person, he thinks, I'm like a person who's seeing his head cut off in a dream. If you see your head cut off in your dream, you know that you're okay. Right? As long as you can see it, everything's all right. So the Krishna conscious person is like that. He sees, I'm going through this, that, but actually it has nothing to do with me. This material existence is something like a dream. It's not my real existence. What's happening to this body is not happening to me. In this way, he becomes aloof from the machinery of this material body. He becomes aloof from the machinery of this material body. Were you one of the people who was here before when I asked about turning those things off? No. You weren't? Now, if you really want to talk on your telephone, please go downstairs. If you didn't come to spare half an hour to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, then just go someplace and talk on your telephone. And if you did come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, please turn off your blankety-blank telephone. It's an extreme discourtesy to Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita to come to a Bhagavad Gita discourse with your telephone on. Keep that with you as a thought. So, yavatishtati na ingate. Ingate means wavering. Is that how Prabhupada translates it? Yes, na vichalyate, na ingate, flickering. Flickering, wavering, like a flame. When the wind is blowing, flame goes this way and that way. But the Krishna conscious person is described as being like a lamp in a windless place. He doesn't flicker and waver. So how is it possible? It's possible because he knows that he's a servant of Krishna. The Mayavadis also can take these verses and they can take the same instruction. They're good for everyone. Even for a materialist, you get one of those people who writes a book on, you know, self-improvement from the Bhagavad Gita or that sort of thing. And they can take these verses and say, yeah, you should be steady, you should be calm, you should be all of these things. And that's lovely. We're happy if they take something useful from Bhagavad Gita. But they're missing the essential point. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for our self-improvement in this material world. Krishna doesn't come from age to age. in order to help us feel good about ourselves and improve our performance. It's to rescue us from this material existence. So the essential point here is to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna. That will become clear in the next verse, mam cheyo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. The person who's engaged in devotional service automatically transcends the modes of material nature. Sagunan samaticha etan. Samaticha means he goes beyond them. How? Mam chayo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate. He's always engaged in devotional service. If I'm always engaged in devotional service, automatically I'm not engaged in Maya service. If I try to get out of Maya service, then Maya says, wait a second, not so fast. But when we're engaged in the service of Krishna, then automatically we're not engaged in the service of Maya. That's also there. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya duratriya. Mame viye prapajante maya natanta. Maya is very difficult to get free from, because Maya is divinely empowered by Krishna. And we see it's very effective. Maya's got everybody tied up hand and foot. Not only tied up hand and foot, but thinking, wow, I've got these ropes on me, they're stylish. And I'm free to choose any kind of ropes I like. Maya bewilders the living entity into thinking he's independent when he's really enslaved. But the person who's engaged in the service of Krishna, mam eva ye prapajante, mayam etam todantite, same thing. He gets free from Maya by surrendering to Krishna. We're very weak. Otherwise, how have we fallen under Maya's power? Because we're tiny, we can fall under Maya's influence. Therefore, the Mayavadis are so foolish. They're thinking that they're God. But if they're God, how have they come under the control of Maya? If I'm God, why is Prabhupada said, why is Maya shoe kicking me if I'm God? Well, I've forgotten that I've God. Well, what kind of God are you that you can't remember? So the Mayavad philosophy is just foolishness elevated to the highest peak. Mayavadis are very elevated. They're at the highest peak of foolishness. By the person who's understood Bhagavad Gita, Mami Vamsa Ivaloke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. He knows I'm a tiny part of Krishna. Angsha. Angsha means part. Because I'm a part, I can be overwhelmed by Maya. Like a spark that's out of the fire, it can go out, it falls on the land, it's totally extinguished, it falls on the water, it's even more so. Maybe it falls in some leaves, it might grow up again. But really, when it's in the fire, that's when it's full of illumination and power. The living entity has spiritual power. He's properly situated when he's in connection with Krishna. And when he leaves aside his connection with Krishna, then he loses his spiritual strength. Well, that's the position of the conditioned souls. We turn aside from Krishna and we become controlled at once by Maya. Wherever there's not Krishna, consciousness, the mind is there. And wherever there's Krishna consciousness, then there's no scope for maya. Yaha Krishna taha maya, maya nahi vikar. So the Krishna conscious person achieves all of the qualities mentioned here by being connected with Krishna. How is he unaffected by these various different circumstances? He's unaffected because he knows that my material condition is not my real condition. The things that happened in material existence are not actually my real life. The ups and downs of this material world are not the ups and downs of me. So he remains fixed in the service of Krishna. Even in when there's difficulty. Pravrittim, prakasham cha, pravrittim cha, mohame, whatever there is. He doesn't become resentful. Whatever the circumstance, if there's favorable circumstances, good. I'll surrender to Krishna and be happy. And if there's unfavorable circumstances, good. I'll surrender to Krishna more seriously. His central point is Krishna. That's what distinguishes him from the materialist or from the salvationist. He knows that my business is to be engaged in Krishna's service under any circumstances. He doesn't need to accept the dictations of the material body. There may be demands from the material body, I want this, I want that. But the Krishna conscious person is aloof. Wait a second. Who are you? What do I have to do with you? Why do I have to listen to you? My business is devotional service, not catering to your demands. Because he's always thinking of Krishna. In that way, he remains unaffected. Now, in the practice stage, yes, sometimes he's affected. But because he's practicing, very quickly, he comes to the right point. In the stage of practice, sometimes there may be this or that. Because that's practice. Practice means that we're not perfect, but practice makes perfect. Therefore, the practice is so important. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have some practices to rise early in the morning to chant Hare Krishna, to follow some regulative principles. No gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication. To hear from books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to associate with devotees. There are so many, to take part in the Sankirtan. There are so many things which are part of our practice. And by developing strength in that practice, one becomes situated nicely in devotional service. It's not just a thing that, okay, I'm a devotee, now the modes of material nature can't touch me anymore. I read Bhagavad Gita, it says, if you're a devotee, you're transcendental. Now I'm a devotee, I've shaved my head, I've got to see my beads. It's not such a trivial thing. One has to follow. One has to follow. It's like being a patient at a hospital. If we follow the proper directions, then we'll be cured, we'll be released. But if I just say, well, I'm a patient. Yeah, you're a patient, but you're eating all rubbish, you're not taking your medicine. What do you expect's going to happen? So one has to be serious about devotional service. Mam cheyo abhyavacharani. What is that? Mam chayo avyapicharyana. Steady devotional service. Serious devotional service. Concentrated devotional service. Then, very quickly, we'll see the result. Practicing and then sticking to the practice. Not that, well, I practiced for a year and now I'm sort of in the clear. But it's for our whole life to practice very seriously, following the principles of devotional service, so that Maya won't touch me. Otherwise, Maya doesn't sleep. Maya is always alert, looking for an opportunity to get in there. So then the devotee also has to be alert. How is he alert? He's heard from the spiritual master. He's heard from Shastra, so he knows this is danger. Don't go there. And be here. This is the position of strength. Don't become weak. Be strong. By following these directions of the spiritual master, by following the direction of Shastra, by keeping the association of devotees, by being always engaged, one gets strength. And then we see these qualities appearing. Yo vatishtati nengate, gunar yo navichalyate, udasina vadasima. He's seated as if neutral. It's like some kids, if some kids were going to come in here and have a fight. It's not that we would all get involved taking sides. We'd look at it and say, yeah, I'm a bunch of kids having a fight. We would be neutral. We wouldn't get involved. Except if I start identifying, wait a second, that's my kid. But as long as I'm neutral, and I'm not affected by whatever is going on with the kid stuff. Sometimes we see someone identify, that's my kid. And then they get all wrapped in 12-year-old politics. Udasina vadasina. He's not affected. Like a judge. The parties come before him, and he's neutral. He's not going to make anything if this party wins or lose anything if this party loses. He's neutral. The Krishna conscious person is neutral about the circumstances of the material world. He's not on a campaign to do this or do that, to make the material world different. Not trying to make the material world a better place. Better place means where people become Krishna conscious so that they can get out of the material world. Better place means where I become Krishna conscious so that I get out. Not where I make it the ideal circumstance in this material world so I can go on living happily forever. He's thinking that I don't belong here. So my business is to be engaged in Krishna service, that's all. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya. Pratikul yasya vajana. Whatever is favorable for Krishna service, let me accept. Whatever is unfavorable, reject. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. A materially situated person is affected by so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body. But the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness, and doesn't mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. Just like our Sankirtan devotees, sometimes they go out and distribute books. Sometimes people say, so he doesn't think, well, man, he thinks, it's my duty to be here and distribute these books, and people may sometimes appreciate and think that it's wonderful, and they may sometimes badmouth me or think ill of me, but it's my duty, that's all. He's not affected. Or whatever it is. It's not that our business is to become popular. That if everybody says, oh, you're a great guy because you're doing just what we think you should be doing, then that's our success. Or that if people are saying, then that's our failure. Our success or failure, our success is that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. When we're following Krishna's instructions, when we're living according to the instructions of Krishna, the instructions of the spiritual master, when we're performing our prescribed duties, then that's all. But the same thing, the judge, you know, they may badmouth him, or they may praise him as the greatest judge, but his job is not to look at the case and say, now, how do I get the best name out of this? What's going to make me most popular out there? His job is to look at the case, look at the law, and pass judgment accordingly. And if they say, you know, you're terrible and you're a fool and you're whatever, that's the way it goes. And if they say you're great, well, that's not why I passed the judgment. I have my duty to perform. Sometimes you may praise me, sometimes criticize me. I didn't like sitting for lectures at that age either. So tulya nindatma samstutihi. Tulya priya priyo dhiras. Prabhupada says further, he accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness, otherwise he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or gold. He takes everyone as his dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness. And he does not hate his so-called enemy. He's equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he doesn't attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated. Tulya means equal. Tulya nindatma samstutihi. Tulya priya priyo tiras. Tira means sober. Tiras tachanimuyiti. He knows I'm not this body. He knows that I'm part of Krishna. So he's a sober person. He's not carried away by the intoxications of the material world in the form of pride, false prestige, anger, or any of it. Dhira. He's sober. Tulya priya priyo dhiras. When he gets something he likes or he gets something he doesn't like, he's even. I'll do my service, that's all. If it's sometimes too hot or sometimes too cold. Just like cooking. A wife cooks. And if it's too hot, she cooks anyway. And if it's too cold, she cooks anyway. that when everything's ideal, then I'll check the thermometer, and if it's a nice cool day, I'll go to the kitchen. And the devotee's like that. He does, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, he does his service for Krishna. Mana apamana yos tuyas, it's practically the same thing. Mana means fame, respect. What's the problem? Mana apamana yos tuyas. Yeah, honor or dishonor. It's equal to our so-called friends, so-called enemies. Sarva arambha parityagi. Yes. Arambha means efforts. Parityagi means he's renounced. How is he renounced? He only acts for Krishna. Not that he just renounces all activities. But he renounces the mentality of sense gratification. I'll act. So it's like Madhavendra Puri. He was so renounced that he wouldn't even beg for food. He was a sannyasi, so sannyasi typically gets food by going around to the different homes of the householders and begging. He wouldn't beg. If some food came his way, he'd accept it. If it didn't, all right. Very high position. So he wouldn't even take the trouble to beg. If he didn't get food, he'd tolerate. But when the deity of the Lord requested him, that I want you to get some camphor and sandalwood for me. I'm feeling too hot, so I need some sandalwood. And it's coming from the other side of the country, so if you could please go there. He went. And not by going to Delhi and booking a plane. Through the jungles and the dacoits and all of that. The same person who wouldn't bother to go down the street and put his hand out to get a few grains of rice is ready to walk halfway across India for the service of Krishna. That's Sarva Rambha Parityagi. For his own needs, he doesn't take much trouble. And for the satisfaction of Krishna, he'll take every trouble. Just like we saw, Srila Prabhupada didn't make great endeavors. My room should be nice, and I should have nice furniture, and I should have really good food, and this, that. He just accepted. Sometimes he was living in a big, nice, comfortable place, and sometimes he was living in a little hut. Sometimes he was going to Kumbh Mela and taking freezing bath early in the morning. Whatever. For the service of Krishna, I may get whatever. But my business is to serve. So much trouble he took to come to America and to travel all around. Not for his own interests, not for sense gratification. That's not sense gratification. When you're old, traveling around is not sense gratification. It wasn't a cruise ship, the Jaladuta. But for the service of Krishna, so much trouble. So much trouble to publish Srimad Bhagavatam, so much trouble publish Back to Godhead, so much trouble to go out personally and distribute these magazines, distribute these books. But for the service of Krishna, he was willing to take every trouble. And for his own sense gratification, not interested. Now this is the transcendental position, and that transcendental position is automatically attained by devotional service. Simply trying to become equal-minded, trying to become unaffected, next. Because it's not on the platform of reality. It's on the platform of some false idea about myself that I'm a really good guy, or I'm a really capable person, or I'm a whatever, balanced individual. But if I'm still thinking I'm this body, I don't know that I'm Krishna's servant, it will last. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, automatically all the good qualities come. All right. Hare Krishna. What questions today? Okay. We see that the material world is troublesome, but we still have attachments to this world. How do we turn our backs to this material world permanently? Turn your front toward Krishna. If you turn your front toward Krishna, your back will automatically be turned to the material world. That's it, really. Just become more and more attached to Krishna and be always engaged in Krishna's service. And automatically you're not engaged in my service. What is the reason or purpose for a devotee to have a shikha? So that you know he's a devotee. Just like a policeman has a badge, what's the reason? It's not for bullets to bounce off of or something. So you know he's a policeman. No, that's all. Is it fine for a Vaishnava to have images, murtis of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Narayan, Lakshmi on the home altar? Generally not. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudradi Daivate Samatvenaiva Viksheta Yapashandi Padedruvam. A person who worships all the gods is an atheist. If I think that, well, I worship Krishna, and I worship Narayan, and I worship Lakshmi, and I worship Shiva, and I worship Brahma, because they're all the same, then Pashandipa Vedruvam, he's described as being a Pashandipa, an atheist. But suppose by family tradition or something, I have some murtis, then you keep Krishna or Narayan on top. And the others, because they're servants, they're below. Then it's all right. Just like in the business, you know, the boss and the workers don't all eat at the same table. The boss has a special position. So Krishna is the boss. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Aham Adirhi Devanam, he's the source of all the devas. The devas are all his servants. Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arsar Sabhutya. If one has that understanding, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all these others are his servants, then they respect the servant also. It's not that we love Krishna and we don't care about his servants. We respect the servant of Krishna also, but with that understanding that he's servant of Krishna. At Jagannath Puri, the Jagannath temple is there, and they're worshipping Lord Jagannath, and there are other temples there also, temples of Devi and so on. And the deities are worshipped, Devi and Lord Shiva and so on, and they're given Jagannath Prasad. They don't think Lord Jagannath and Devi and all of these, they're all the same. Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the universe, and all of these others are part of his entourage. They're part of it, they're his servants. So if we offer respect to the other deities with that understanding, then it's all right. Actually, it's not necessary. But by circumstance, suppose in my family some deity is there and I just can't say, well, all right. But then with that understanding, that all right, he's servant of Krishna. So we'll offer respect, everything. But not on the same level. Please, can you elaborate on alternative forms of healing medicine like Reiki, chakra balancing, crystal healing, etc., as a means of improving one's overall well-being? While I understand that these methods should not play a more important role than bhakti yoga, but as it can be used as a complementary method, chakra dhyan, to clean the chakras, etc. These other methods of natural healing are very important as ways of distributing your income. They're so widely promoted and widely advertised, not because people have dedicated their lives to improving your health, but because it brings in some money for them. They're not very important. Generally, they're not even useful, but it becomes all the rage that, you know, the chakras are now balanced, the crystals healed me, and so on and so on and so on. Actually, if one lives according to Krishna conscious life, he'll be healthy. Rise early in the morning, take bath, chant Hare Krishna, only take Krishna prasadam. That also in regulated, you know, not too much, not too little. What is that? That's called in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Yukta ahara viharascha yukta cheshtasya karmas su yukta svapna vibodhasya yoga bhavati dukha. By yoga, you can get free from all miseries. What is that? Be regulated in your eating, be regulated in your sleeping, be regulated in your work. But we're going to work like idiots, and we're going to eat anything and everything, and we're going to watch television till 11 o'clock and then go to sleep, and then we're going to do some Reiki. Or balance our chakras. So, just if one lives according to the life of bhakti yoga, then already he's way out ahead. Already he's way out ahead. Generally, disease is caused by uncleanliness, overeating, and anxiety. These are the three biggest contributors to disease. Uncleanliness, overeating, and anxiety. A person who's Krishna conscious is automatically clean. Automatically regulated in his eating. And he has no anxieties. He's chanting Hare Krishna. Plus he jumps up and down and dances, very good exercise. And generally he doesn't like to give very much attention to this material body. We become all preoccupied with balancing our chakras and all of this stuff. And then we become very focused on this material body. But if we're always engaged in the service of Krishna, then we'll see that, practically speaking, our bodily pains would be reduced to the minimum. One time there were some devotees. There's Mayapur festival. Some devotees came. All devotees came. And one lady from America had baked a cake. And they brought that cake from America, came to Mayapur. And those were the days of very greedy sannyasis, so the greedy sannyasis grabbed the cake. Not that sannyasis are no longer greedy, but they were more greedy. So they quickly devoured the cake, but the cake had gone from Gainesville, Florida, to New York City, to Delhi, and then to Calcutta, and then from Calcutta to Mayapur. So by the time it got to Mayapur, it was poison. Right? All the heat and everything. So these sannyasis, you could see them from... I wasn't a sannyasi then, Krishna's mercy. You could see these sannyasis stretched out, writhing on the roof of the building in agony and retching and in terrible shape. And someone brought to Prabhupada's attention that these sannyasis have eaten this cake and now they're sick. We should take them to the hospital, take them to the doctor. Prabhupada said, let them take Charanamrita and chant Hare Krishna and everything will be all right. They took Charanamrita, chanted Hare Krishna and everything was all right. Without Reiki. Prasade sarvadukhanam hanirasyopajayate. The mercy of Krishna gets free from all miseries. It gives you freedom from all miseries. Just be engaged in Krishna's service. Now we give a little attention to our health, that's all right. But don't make it your preoccupation. It's not worth it. Especially at today's rates. Our Jayananda Prabhu, our godbrother, had terminal leukemia. And he was given money by the government for treatment and so on. And serious business. He simply engaged himself in service of Lord Jagannath, arranging for Rath Yatra festivals. Whatever money they gave him, the government gave him, he gave to Prabhupada to publish books. And he lived gloriously and was fit for going back to God. Even with the best medical care, there's no guarantee that I can stay in this material world. And if I dedicate myself to somehow or other improving my material condition, what's the use? So we should take care. See that things will go on. But not make it our focus. I'll just take care of the duties. We can introduce kirtan therapy. And there's Reiki and there's crystals. Kirtan therapy. Chant Hare Krishna and all your problems will go away. Pavosadat Shrota Manovirama. It said in Srimad Bhagavatam that this hearing and chanting about Krishna is the medicine for birth and death. What will crystals and chakra balancing, can they save me from death? If not, then it's their third class medicine. We have the first class medicine, it cures death. Can you explain how the demigods fit into the whole system? For example, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And can you give a way in which you can explain to non-devotees this, especially typical Hindus? As well, can you quote a verse whereby it explains all of this or a particular book? Well, all of Prabhupada's books explain this. Bhagavad Gita explains it very well. Sarvadharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam raja. Give up all other business and surrender to me. Mam ekam. So many places in Bhagavad Gita, the positions of the demigods are described. Mayagavihitam, hitan, everything given by the demigods is actually given to me. Tepi mam eva kontiya yujantiya vidhi purvakam. Those who are worshipping the demigods are actually worshipping me, but in the wrong way. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, describes all of these things very nicely. The summary is Ekala Ishra Krishna Arsat Bhritya. There's one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone is his servant. Simple. Ishra Parama Krishna. He's the Supreme. Adi Deva, you're the original Deva. Arjuna says to Krishna. Read Bhagavad Gita, everything's there. Why is it that we lord it over material life? Because we're in Maya. We're turning away from Krishna, and then as soon as we turn away from Krishna, at once is Maya is there, and Maya says, it's all about you. You're the most important person. You're the center. You're capable. It's all up to you. Don't let anyone push you around. And then Maya pushes us around like crazy. And then the antidote is you surrender to Krishna. When Krishna is the Lord, then I'm not the Lord. And if I don't accept Krishna as the Lord, then I'm thinking I'm a person. Therefore, chant Hare Krishna. Krishna says that the soul does nothing, nor is it entangled. Everything is controlled by the modes of material nature. But then Krishna also says that he's the ability in man. How do we understand this? Yeah, therefore I'm not doing anything. If I'm able to do something, it's Krishna's power. Otherwise, now I'm sitting here, I'm talking. If Krishna withdraws that power, I can't say a word. So then how have I gotten the power to sit here and say something? Krishna's giving me a little bit of energy. Then how is it my credit? Or if I'm sitting here because I'm thinking I'm the master of the universe, that's also not me, that's Maya. And Maya is filling me with false ego. And I'm thinking I'm the master of the universe. Either way, so again I'm controlled by Krishna, but indirectly. So either way I'm under Krishna's control. Either way, I'm acting by his power, either cooperatively or without cooperation. So it's not contradictory. The soul does nothing, nor is he entangled, but he's dreaming that he's doing everything. The child is screaming. Why? Because he's being eaten by a tiger? But he's imagining that he's being eaten by a tiger, and therefore he's screaming. I imagine that I was just promoted to chairman of the board. I imagine that I just lost all my money. I imagine that I just got married to the most beautiful woman in the universe. I imagine that I just got divorced. What does this have to do with me? But because I identify with this body and I identify with all the goings on, I think it has something to do with me, or I think this is my life. Prabhupada said there's daydream and night dream. At night we sleep and we dream and then we wake up and go on dreaming until we become Krishna conscious. He who journeys, Krishna says, to his eternal abode never takes birth in this material world again. However, we fell from the spiritual sky initially, what will stop us from falling again? Especially since we will have no memory of our suffering in the material world. Would you please go back to Godhead and then solve that problem? Krishna says, don't worry about it. No, I'm going to worry about it. Krishna says, don't worry. Mahashucha. Okay. You'll never figure it out how this, you know, just go. Sukadeva, in the Krishna book, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Sukadeva Goswami confirms that the material senses can be used to understand transcendental subject matter, which is by definition free from the material modes of nature. Since the size of the supersoul is later on quoted to be the size of the thumb, how come he has not or cannot be observed, has not been or cannot be observed under a material instrument such as a microscope? Good question. Follow the logic there? First it says that the senses, the material senses, can be used to understand Krishna and some transcendental subject matter. So then the question is, well then why can't I use my material senses to look under a microscope and see the supersoul? Because after all, he's the size of a thumb. And the answer is that, yes, your material senses can be used to understand the personality of Godhead by a particular process. It's not just that I can do anything. Like if I want to know what a flower smells like, I just put my eye near it. That's not going to work. You have to use the right sense in the right way. If I want to smell the flower, then I have to put my nose near it and breathe in. And then I can smell the flower. Not that I say, well, I have material senses and I can use them to understand flowers, so why can't I do it this way? There's a method. And you follow the method and you can smell the flower. So that you can understand Krishna as far as Krishna can be understood by the material senses, by hearing, by transcendental sound, by service. Bhaktya mama bijanati. Not by demanding, you know, the Prabhupada quoted the cosmonauts, the Russian space adventurers went out into space and they gave their report, there's no God up there. But that's not the way that you can tell. You go up with your instruments made in Moscow, and if you don't see God, he's not there. It's a different process. Even, say, radiation. Radiation is a material phenomenon. Why can't you see it? Why can't you just open your eyes and tell whether or not we're safe here? There is a process, but it's not just opening your eyes. You have to follow the procedure because radiation is not perceivable that way. It's perceivable in a different way. So Krishna is perceived, but not by the gross senses. What is that? Na bhave grahyam indriye. What is the beginning? Seva mukhi jivada svayameva sparchya. What's the beginning? Nambhave grahyam indriye. We'll come back afterwards. Anyway, the meaning is that we can't understand Krishna by our gross senses. But, No. That's true, but it's not beginning of that phrase?
Sarvopadi.
Hmm? Not Sarvopadi, your total guesswork. Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhavekra Indra. That's the verse. Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes can't be understood just by gross exercise of the senses. Sevam Mukhi, even hearing. Of course, hearing itself is service, but when we hear with the attitude of service, then it will be effective. Sevam Mukhi, Jivado, especially with the tongue, when we use our tongue to serve Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, honor Prasad. Then we'll understand. It's possible to see Krishna. Yogis who are devotees can see Krishna. Guru Maharaj got to see Krishna. Or any pure devotee can see Krishna face to face. But not with a microscope, with a gross method. Bhaktyamamapijanati, by devotional service, one can understand Krishna. Okay. Should we stop here? Thank you all very much.